What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 190. It's been a while. Yes, we still apparently do this. Hope you're okay with the cadence of when we feel like it, because that's where we're at right now. But anyway, James and I decided we had to get together because both of us just finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and we wanted to talk about that. So, but if you want, you can check out our show on Mostly Normal Gamers on all the things, Google, Amazon, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Is that what it's called? It's not called iTunes anymore. I think iTunes is
dead. Yeah, Apple, it's iTunes. Is iTunes dead? Yeah, it's Apple Music and
Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, right?
Yeah.
I'm still going to, that's an old people thing. Like my mom calls all Nintendos, or all gaming systems Nintendo. My wife said that the other day, by the way.
Nintendo.
She goes, is that your, like a new Nintendo? And I was like, and she meant like, I was new, like, oh God, yeah. is this where we are in my life? Like,
oh my
this
God.
Is where I am. Anyway, yeah, check out our show on any of those things. Tell your friends about it if you want. We got this, like I said, this is 190th episode. So this ain't our first rodeo. I like to think I've gotten a little bit better at it as the time has gone on. But I lie to myself every day, so who knows. Yeah. I can't remember what else is in the thing. You can check out in the description, and it's there for you. So, anyway, James, what do you want to start with, dude? You and I have played a lot of some of the games. I noticed you're playing...
Tales of Kenzai.
Yeah, so we can talk about that at some point.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Real quick, I did play... Pepper Grinder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was really short.
Yeah.
There were only four bosses. It's kind of set up like, you know, remember like the original Mario game where you world 1-1, world 1-2? Yeah. I mean, they still do that. Does Wonder do that? Same level cadence?
I mean, like if you want to specify, I think all the world, the levels have number or like names.
Number dash something.
But I'm pretty sure they have numbers attributed to them. I don't pay attention to it anymore because now they have like at the end of the day, like when you were a kid, like how do you differentiate the different levels really? Because at the end of the day, they all look pretty much the same, right?
Yeah.
Especially in Mario 1 where it's like the only like setting palette is, okay, so this is an overworld during daylight. This is an overworld during nighttime. Yeah. This is an underwater level, plays completely different. This one has bridges. This one's got like weird trees, or this one's an underground, and that's it. That's all they got, right?
Yeah.
So, how do you differentiate the different worlds, really?
Yeah.
So
without the numbers, anyway, that's neither here nor there, really. But it's kind of the same thing. But there's only four worlds, and each world only has like four or five levels.
Yeah.
So that's I'm always complaining about how long games are now,
mm-hmm.
and we're about to talk about Final Fantasy
the longest
VII Rebirth,
fucking game
is
in the world.
Fucking, like, I loved it, but like it was, I don't know
long
where you
tooth.
Ended up. I think I can look too. I was real close to 90 hours, but anyway, the brevity of the game didn't really bother me as much as two of the boss battles were bugged. So like the second to last boss battle,
Oh, no.
I thought it was like, so I had to restart the level because it was completely bugged. And then I got to the end of that stage again. And it was bugged to the point where, like, the boss was, like, no challenge. All I did was it just stood there while I killed it. So it just, like, completely, there was no challenge. Oh. And then the last boss, the first phase of the last boss, like, gets to a point where he just does the same thing. Kind of, like, is fighting you, and then he just stops. But then the phase after that was really challenging. And it's still fun, and it's, like, a platforming. For those of you who don't know, you basically... Pepper Grinder is like the girl's name is Pepper, and she gets her treasure stolen at the beginning of the game, and your job is to like chase down all your treasure, right, and the people who stole it. So you use this like grinder to grind through sand and different areas to like find your treasure and get to the end of the level.
Mm-hmm.
And you also it does have some cool stuff in there. You end up controlling, like, you have a gun, which is really like feels very visceral with the controller.
And Oh yeah,
is like really fun. Like felt like I would play a game with just that. And like you control a mech with it, And all of this is with your little grinder. Like, there's these things that you control with your grinder. So it does have some variety to it. And it was definitely a fun game, but it was $15. And I think your Switch, have you ever noticed that, man? They still don't, it doesn't tell you how long you've played a game unless you've owned it for a certain amount of time. Like,
oh, really?
It's weird, dude.
I didn't notice that.
Because we bought Super Mario Brothers Superstars, or Super Mario Party Superstar. No, what's it called? Is it Superstars?
There's two. There's Paper, or not Paper, sorry. Super Mario Party, and then there's Mario Party Superstars.
Yeah, so we bought the Superstars one. And I don't know how many hours we've played it, because we just started it 9 days ago. So it tells you you first played this game 9 days ago. It doesn't tell you how long you've played it for.
Mm.
Anyway, it's not a very long game, and it was like $15. So, I mean, take that. And it's kind of buggy. And I feel like that stuff, if they were going to fix it, they would have fixed it. Because it's not like I bought it on release and played it on release. Like, it's been out for a few weeks now. So, I don't know. Kind of disappointing from that aspect. And I think it's by published by Devolver. And I always hold them in pretty high regard.
Oh, for sure.
So, but I don't know. They're also publicly traded now, so I don't know. That always puts a thorn in my side, I guess, when it comes to, like, finishing games and that studios. Kind of thing. Like, now what's their priority, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha.
But it was it was a fun game. I don't know that I can recommend a bug game. But I do, this brings a question to mind that I wanted to ask you. Rather than via chat. So IGN gave this game a, like, 7.
Yeah.
And I think it has a Metacritic of, like, 70-something. Assuming everybody else has these bugs, right? It's seldom is a game like this have a bug like this that's consolidated to a few users, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's usually pretty ubiquitous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, very, like, I think a lot of bugs that I've at least encountered, it might not be everybody who experiences them, but, like, typically a fair amount of people do.
Right.
And I think, I don't know.
It just brings me to the idea of, like, I do think we're, like, a little too soft on games. I feel like we call games, or, like, if a game's just okay, we give it a 7.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know that that's fair. Like, the game,
For me, a 7 is a good game. Like, it might not be the best game, but it's good through and through. It's an enjoyable experience.
Right.
Would play again.
Which I think, I mean, the fact that we don't use the whole scale from 1 to 10 makes it difficult to discern between a 7, 8, or 9. Like,
the problem is it comes down to how game studios view it. A game studio, a lot of their internal, like, prioritization is anything above a 7. A 7 or a 7D is a fail. So they, like, as far as internal bonuses go, or how much their shareholders, like all of that sort of, like, their financial must-haves are within the 70-plus range. So a 70 is a fail, and then anything above that is, we're doing better, right? And so, and of course, like, 100 or a 90 is like, fuck it, we did it. But a lot of studios don't give out bonuses unless their game hits, like, 85.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that's essentially an A, right? If you're looking at, like, school. But, like, a 70 was a pass in school.
Yeah,
or a 60, which is, it seems also weird. Like, at least I feel like a 50 should be a pass, but a 50 is a fail. At least in Canada, it's a fail.
Oh yeah, below 70 is a fail in the United States.
Which is, maybe that's where it all comes from, right? Like, you need to be above a 70.
And that's my thing, man. Like, not everybody's there, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like if a game doesn't land, like, there are kids in school that fail. There are, like, I failed the test when I was in pharmacy school because I didn't believe that what they said was going to be on the test was going to be on the test. And so I studied different stuff, and I got like a 62 on this test because I called their bluff and they weren't bluffing. And like, that's okay. Like, that shit happens. Like, you should learn from that. I don't think we should... We live in this, like, area where everybody has to... Oh, well, you tried, so you get a pass. Like, yeah. No? Did you try and fuck things up? Because then you don't get a pass. Like, yeah. I guess is my thing. And the problem I have with this, like, pepper grinder game, and I don't mean to be a dick about it, but, like, it was obviously bugged. It's not fixed, like, several weeks out. Like, why would I give this game a pass. Even passing score?
Yeah.
Even if I did like parts of it, like, a lot of it, because it's fucked up. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? So I well, can't, like, I would never tell somebody, yeah, go spend $15 on this game that you're going to have half of the bosses bugged out.
Yeah. And that's fair, I think. That's, yeah. like, I mean, at the end of the day, can you play that game to completion and enjoy it? If you can't, then I think there's a... I think yeah. it's not... That would be a not good game, not a pass.
Yeah.
Did you finish it, though?
Like
you
I said, did, yeah. Okay, and so I, you did like manage I said, to pass it is bosses. Fun. It's just not... Like, again, I don't feel like there's a good excuse to have these problems, like, this far out after launch.
For sure.
Like, if it's a day... It feels like things that a day one patch should have fixed. Yeah. Even in an indie game, I think that that's not too much to ask, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's reasonable.
Especially when you're supported by a publisher like Devolver that isn't, like, new to the game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they know this shit. Like, they should... They've dealt with this before. Like, if anybody can handle it, I'm sure it would be them, but... Anyway, yeah. I just think we get too caught up on giving everything that's... It feels like if a game is, like you said, like if you can finish the game and not
enjoy
incur
it.
Any like serious bugs,
yeah,
it's a 7. It starts there. And I don't yeah. know that that's really fair. Like, I guess maybe it is. Maybe that's fair for a game that you just finished that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also, like, there's other things you have to take into account, too. Like, you finish the game, that's, like, maybe that's the bare minimum, right? That's the bare minimum you can, like, for grading, but that might not be on the score, right? If you finish that game, and it was, like, a slog to get through because you didn't enjoy the material, I think that brings, like, suddenly that's, like, is that a 70? No, I yeah. feel like that would be closer to a 60 or a 50.
Yeah.
If most of the gameplay was... not intuitive, or it was a little bit like constant menuing because you have to, like, it's not geared to a very like, I don't know, you have to for example, we're playing this the Tales of Kinzera
yeah
game, and you have to switch masks constantly. Like, we can explain it a little bit more, but like, you have to switch masks on the fly constantly. If you had to go into a menu like old school Mega Man to switch which mask you were wearing every time, that would not be a very good game to play. It would it would just chop up. So stuff like that where it's like, oh, this could have been streamlined, or this could have been, I think that's where you start going like, okay, well, was this good? Was this experience fun? Do I want to go through this again? And then that you sort of build up from there. But I think at the bare minimum, maybe you can complete the game is a 50.
Well, that, I think you're right, because I remember Prey, if you remember that game.
Oh, God. I never finished that, it.
I didn't either, but when it launched on PC, I remember IGN reviewed that, and they gave it a 5 out of 10, because it was so bugged at the mm-hmm. beginning at launch, and they fixed it, and I think they actually ended up re-reviewing the game because they fixed yeah, it. They patched it.
It's but, quite, the reviews are quite good about it now. And for me, yeah. it's like, I couldn't finish it. I was like, this is fucking, I'm not doing this again.
I don't like Sims, so it was never really in my yeah. wheelhouse to finish
Fair
it.
Enough.
And it's a kind of like a Deus Ex kind of game. And I played both of those that were the most recent ones, but that's neither here nor there. And plus it scared the crap out of me too. So
I did like aspects of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposedly a really competent, well-done game. Like,
yeah.
I don't blame you for not wanting to go back, but I do think it's a game that you would, in particular, would enjoy. But
no, I want to go back, because there was aspects of that game I really liked, but the, like, oh, I died because of something I couldn't foresee, and now I have to redo this whole thing, and then, oh, or going into space was such a complicated, like, you had to, like, wait 15 minutes for it to load. It was just brutal.
Well, shit, man. Think about now if that's backwards compatible and you can download it to your SSD, like how much that would change. And I know they put out DLC for that too that was actually really well received.
Moonstruck or something that? Or,
yeah, you nailed it. Anyway, how did we get
I cheated. Oh. I literally just looked on GOG or whatever because I have I have a copy of it on GOG. And, I saw it earlier today.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, to your point, like if it's, but I remember games, if you ever watched X-Play back in the day on G4 TV or whatever.
I didn't have G4.
Anyway. Oh, yeah.
I live in Canada. We got nothing. We might have had it, but I also didn't have cable, so.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I remember them giving a couple games like a 1 or 2 out of 10 that seemed like horrific games to play. So I think there is a world where we get that low. But yeah, it's, do you want to, I think you made a great segue into Tales of K'Zara, because I think that actually, from my point of view, kind of stands by what we feel is like a 7 out of 10.
Yes! Oh, for sure.
So far.
It's got like, as far, so Tales of K'Zara is a Metroidvania. You play this African style. I don't think it's real. Like, I think it's like a pseudo-futurism of like this African culture, but like you've got you're basically a shaman who's lost his father, and you're trying to reconcile or at least like bargain with the like the god of death to bring your father back, and and so you go off on this journey to do basically you're trying to bring great spirits to like to rest for this god, and then he will return your father. But I think it's a competent Metroidvania.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not nearly like it would never put it in the greatest of Metroidvanias.
No.
Even playing it, Chrissy was sitting over my shoulder going like, "This looks a lot like Ori." And yeah. I'm like, "Yeah, it really does." It's not as good as Ori, but it does, like, there's so much, like, even, I just got an ability that lets me, like, essentially do, like, a grappling hook technique, but it's, like, it creates, like, a little arrow that, like,
you
shoot through, and I'm like, this is just the Ori ability.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's funny you use the exact same word I did to describe it in my own head, as competent. Like, it's definitely okay, like it's not, I'll probably finish it and maybe look at the platinum trophy list and see what they look like, because I mean, you know me, I love 2D platformers and Metroidvania, so it's like right in my wheelhouse. But of the ones that I've played, it's definitely not in any way like, does it stand out as like a pinnacle of any of those games. It's no Ori and the Will of the Wisps or Ori and the Blind Forest or Hollow Knight, anything like that.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But it is good. I don't know, and even the story is good. I was hoping the story would be a little bit better, but it's competent, but it's not like Ori, in both of the Ori games, like I'm pretty sure I like cried at the end of both of those games, because they were so well written. This one, I don't even, I mean, it's just not really tugging at my heartstrings. Even if it's about somebody's father dying, it's just weird how you can have the same story and the way that it's told doesn't really pull at you as much as
some, it's not, told
a different way.
I think to phrase it, it's not terrible. Like, it's not bad. It's not poorly written. It's just like, I feel like it's a little bit on the nose at times. Like you're clearly
that's a good way to put it.
You're clearly a character who's trying to understand to get over death, but your goal is to go to these other great spirits and convince them that, like, because they've denied death, and you're trying to like say, hey, like, death is a part of life, here's understanding, and like making sort of like this sort of understanding and making peace with the fact that you're past your time on this realm or whatever, so it's time for you to pass on. And one of the stories is about like the child and how the child of this great spirit is like, I don't want to let go. I just want to continue having... And it's, I felt like it's like, oh, so like your main character who doesn't want to let go of the fact that his father has died and wants him to be brought back. It's like, ah, you're kind of...
It's a little heavy-handed.
Yeah. It's just, we get, I get what we're doing here, but it feels really blunt.
Yeah, it's on the nose.
Yeah, I do feel the characters like that are quite fun. Like the two main characters is like you basically have your Navi character, who is your the god of death, who's just kind of like parsing out wisdom throughout the game and trying to like help your character Zhao understand. And I feel like we're gonna go through all the great spirits, and then we're gonna have to understand. I don't know, how far have you gotten? I'm about just over halfway through, I think.
I'm still on the second act out of four. Yeah. So.
Oh, the second act. So the second act has like this terrible auto scroller section that is very Ori in the Blind Blind Forest. But it's so poorly done. I was not having a good time last night. I was just like, oh my god, this is so like it's you're being chased by something, and then like the world around you is rapidly changing. And, like, so you're trying to, like, oh, I gotta dodge this, I gotta jump over that, and I gotta use this ability, and you're swapping abilities on the fly, and it's really stressful. Yeah. And then suddenly it'll be like, oh, psych, it's coming from the other direction. And, like, if you don't, if you're so far ahead, you just get instantly killed. You have to, like, oh, now next time I have to go through all of that again, and now I have to turn around, and then they pull it again, and you're like, God, stop. Like, just...
Yeah. Dude, that was the one thing about, like... And I will say about this game is, like, you go, even the ones, the areas that are supposed to be, like, super challenging from a platforming standpoint.
Yeah.
Some of them are challenging, but I guess the platforming puzzling isn't really fine-tuned to a point where it's, like, fun to redo it over and over again. So if you find yourself halfway through one of the, like, challenging, like, platforming puzzles and you... get die because of something you did, like, you're not like excited to start it over again. You're like, damn, like, I gotta do this all over again. Whereas Ori and the Blind, both of those games, both the Ori games and other ones too, those are just the ones I think because of this game and its likeness to those, we're likening it to them or keep bringing it up. But like, if you died in one of those puzzles, or like you said, like there's one where you're getting away from like a snake or a serpent or something like that in one of the Ori games, and they're having it's so much fun to do that. Like, yeah, it gets frustrating after doing it 10 times, like a Dark Souls boss or something, but it's also like challenging and exciting and fun. And this isn't necessarily challenging and exciting and fun, it's just kind of like there.
Do you want to talk? So, have you noticed any weird glitches in the game?
No.
Okay, so I have.
Okay.
And one that drives me absolutely off the wall is if you are moving around like you do in a Metroidvania, and then you check your map, or you pause, or you get interrupted.
Yes, I have noticed this one.
Suddenly, your character's movement is completely halted, and you can't move anymore. So, if you have to let go of the control stick and then start all over again, which makes... it's a nightmare when you're like running, jumping, dodging things. You're like, shit, which route do I take? Quickly check the map, uncheck the map. Then your character just dead drops to the ground and you have to like let go and push over. Oh, it just kills your momentum and it drives me nuts and it gets me every time.
Yeah, me too. I guess I've been lucky to where I haven't done it at any point other than like at a standstill or when it's not been important. But it's weird. It's one of those things where you would tell somebody, like, that this matters. And I don't notice that when I go to my map screen, I'm still holding the thing over. You know what I mean?
Or I find the way I do it is I just quickly tap the map, check, like, which direction. Like, am I going towards the goal? No? Yeah. Yes? Yeah. And like, unclick. And it's, like, less than a second and a half of time for me to do that.
It's just weird, isn't it? That's like, because you would think, I don't know, you wouldn't think, but you would, that this would matter, but in game testing, you would think it would come out in the wash and like been obvious that this should have been fixed, but maybe it was harder to fix or something.
It's just a weird little bug that just drives me up the wall. The other one I've noticed is the camera tracking is not perfect. And so what happens is the camera tries to maintain on your character. If you start running, like, if you start, like, imagine a level, like, a switchback in a level, like, where you, you walk down a platform, and then you have to jump up or jump down, and then you have to backtrack backwards. Sometimes the camera will not know whether to follow the character or go back to the top path, and it'll do, like, this weird sort of try and find your character. And it drives me nuts sometimes when, like, because sometimes there's enemies or traps or something, and suddenly the camera is just, like, sliding you out of view, and you're like, come back, I need to see what I'm doing. Because, like, you're on a flow or whatever.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
happen all the time, but it's anytime, like, you make a quick, like, change of directions, sometimes the camera is like taking a second or two to get you
figure there. Out where you're
and
at.
I think it's trying to maintain the laws of three quarters or whatever, where like your character should, like, the camera should only move when your character is at like the one third or three quarter section of the screen, and anything between there it doesn't move. But I think that there's some sort of issue when you're going up and down in addition to that it gets confused.
I'll finish it and I'll look for, my guess is the final boss is gonna be your like
Baba.
Dad or something like that, right? Because
the bosses
you basically have to fight them to, like you said, help them. I guess I've only fought one so far and I don't mean to spoil it, but
yeah,
that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, no, it's that seems to be the case for the most part, and I think that if it's not your dad, it's going to be the god of death or something, like, or it's going to be you, your, like, internal, like, you're going to find your nega self.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, it feels like...
Negazao?
Yeah, Negazao. It just seems like, it seems a little... heavy-handed, so I will finish it. I've been enjoying it despite its flaws.
Yeah.
Which is like a solid 7. Like it's a great game coming off of like just like a palate cleanser from coming off of a game that took me 110 hours.
110,
to beat.
Huh? Yeah. real quick before we get into Final Fantasy, I did want to say I'm almost done with Lies of P, and it's. You know how I've been talking about that forever? I beat what I thought was the final boss, and then you go immediately to another boss.
Oh, no.
And now I'm just like, it's kind of where I was at. Or I guess I wasn't really here yet with Final Fantasy, but I'm over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad game. It's just that I've played enough of it, and I don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just to the point where I'm like, do I even finish it? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I hate that because I want to finish it, but it's a Souls-like game. So it's not like, it's like, oh, we'll just beat the boss. It's like, no, like you don't just beat the boss. Like it takes time and effort. You know what I mean? Like it's hard. So I don't know. I'm torn.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Like even in Final Fantasy VII, I was like, I just want this to be done. I think I've played so much of it. I've done so much in it. I've completed all the side quests. I've done all the things. I'm so tired of it. And now I've completed it, and I can't help but think, like, man, I want to play more Final Fantasy VII.
It is a really good game, dude. It's so good. But one question I have for you is how, like, if you want to do a spoiler cast about this, we should. But we could talk about this game for probably at least an hour, I would imagine. But, like, how much is left? Because you've played the original, right?
Oh, yeah. Have you not played the original? Mm-mm. Okay, so we are actually at roughly the... it's probably a good... I don't know. I want to say three-quarter mark, but I think it's a little less than three-quarters of the way through. We're definitely over halfway. So, like, when I was talking to Chrissy about it yesterday, she's like, is the game still has more to it? Like, she's like, that was a weird ending. I was like, oh no, it's not over. We still got more to do. We've got a good chunk. This is exactly, the ending we got is exactly where I thought it would end. Like, that's the most logical ending point. Like, just as far as, like, characters in your party, as far as like how the game continues, like the story progresses, I think that's the most logical part. We have a big section coming up with There's like definitely going to be a snowboarding mini game that we're going to have to do.
Fuck yeah, so, that's what I'm talking about.
And then we have like big plot points. Then you control Tifa for a while. She's the party lead. And then once you've kind of resolved that, for the most part, it's the end of the game. But I feel like that's going to be a really drawn out section.
Yeah.
They've really introduced something weird. Like, they started with the last game. They've really dove into it on this game.
Where, oh, yeah.
It's, the, like, they're trying to do, like, this multi-dimensional stuff.
Like, and the, I call it, and I also haven't played Kingdom Hearts, but I listened to a podcast about the story of Kingdom Hearts and still know nothing about the story of Kingdom Hearts because it's so goddamn convoluted. And I feel like this is like that, too, because I'm like, what happened? Like, yeah. This isn't spoiling anything. Well, it might be a little bit, but, like, you at the end of the first remake, you saw Zack was still alive, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, saves Cloud. And then, what else? Just a bunch of weird shit. And then at this end of this one, like, Aerith is dead, but is she? Is she still there? What's going on? Like,
yeah.
Because she's still here, but also not, kind of.
So, like, I have my no thought... idea. Like, yeah. So, yeah, can we put a spoiler disclaimer before this? Because I really,
spoiler.
I really want to bring this up. My thought is Aerith replaced Sephiroth. And remember how Cloud always had those headaches and then suddenly Sephiroth's there and telling him to do something and he's like being manipulated by it? My thought was, originally, Aerith, oh shit, she replaced him. Like, she is now, because he had that headache and then suddenly Aerith was there.
And I was like, oh, you mean as like Cloud's alter ego or kind of thing?
Yeah, as like, or like whatever's manipulating him.
Yeah, not through, not like in the game.
Yeah, she's like physically, like not physically there, but like mentally. Yeah. He is, because he kept seeing Sephiroth when nobody else could see him.
Yeah.
And now he's seeing Aerith when nobody else can see her.
Yeah.
And I think that that was the intention. But then he fucking pulls out the black materia and I'm like, then I don't fucking know what's happening.
No, I have no idea, yeah. And then, dude, there's so many questions. Like, one, he has the other materia that she gave him, and then it's empty, but then he's, look, then it's, but didn't he drop it in the lake? So how did he get it back? And then it, when he dropped it in the lake, I think it was still full, but then it's empty now. And why is it empty? And that it's has just, to have some significance, right?
At the end of the day, I think this game asks more questions than it answers.
100%, yeah.
And the experience, like the journey, was really good. I really like Tifa and Aerith's relationship throughout the game. I thought that they did that so fucking well.
Yeah, because, you and I, like, were talking
it's
about...
so easy to do that. Two girls like the same guy. Oh man, they're just gonna hate each other the whole time. Be catty little bitches to each other.
Yeah.
Just like guys do the same thing. If two guys like the same girl, they're gonna be like puffing themselves up and putting each other down and being like these dickholes about to each other, right? Whereas that wasn't the case. They just became fucking really good friends, and I love that. Like, they started,
I did too, yeah.
They started in Rebirth or remake, and it just continued to like excel in such a way that was like, that is just a nice, genuinely good relationship they've got. And I
so in the original game, are they, do they get they along bar- with
like,
each other?
It's like any RPG, they barely like kind of communicate with each other because all of the communication
it was the 90s.
Is done through the main character.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I get it.
It's not a lot of inter-character communication.
They do, they do a great job with all of the characters, and then like towards the end, each one of them goes off on their own individual path of something in their past that's like hard for them, and like it really brings a certain level of depth to their character. That's when I was asking you about Yuffie, and now I kind of want to go back and play that DLC because I never played the DLC from the first one.
It's one of some of the best gameplay in Final Fantasy.
Dude, she's
the best.
My
favorite
character,
100%.
She's 100%. Awesome.
Like just gameplay wise, yeah.
Yeah. She's so,
so
fun.
What was your build with Yuffie? I really want to ask you because I had a lot of fun with Yuffie. And I started doing something fucking weird with her near the end.
Like, what?
So I would attach, there's like, you know, the enemy skill materia?
Yeah.
There was one where, so Yuffie has a lot of abilities that bank on her using different abilities quickly. Mm-hmm. So I gave her that, what is it? The compass or whatever as her okay. spare equipment. The compass has a side ability that if you use like three different abilities, it will split her ATB into three bars.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the same thing that you do when you do, like, the United
Focus. The refocus or, kind of yeah, thing, yeah.
So, it would do that as long as she's using multiple abilities a lot. I give her Mug and have, like, her weapon that gives her, like, her weapon ability that does, like, it gives her bravery if she steals from an enemy or tries to steal from an enemy.
Yeah.
And then I gave her, like, Bermal Form. Like, when I do, like, when I'm saying I gave her, like, this is my quick buttons. So I don't have to go through them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mug, Bermal Form, which both Mug and Bermal Form give her ATB after use. So, like, they refill about half of what you spent or whatever. So it basically helps you get to the next ability really fast.
Yeah.
I gave her the Blind Side, which is just the best fucking move in the game. Because it gets you out of stuns, it gets you out of enemy grabs, it does a ton of damage, and it can essentially launches your weapon out of your hand, so you don't have to worry about throwing it again, and you can just start doing your elemental damage again.
Yeah.
And then I gave her the last one is the enemy skill plasma discharge or something like that. Basically, whenever her ATB fills like a single bar, she explodes with lightning energy in an AoE. And I would have it so she was just it constantly exploding. Just nonstop. It was like I think one of the last bosses, like the boss in the temple or whatever,
the heads?
Well, the heads. Yeah, the wall demons or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That boss fight was solely Yuffie just exploding and stunning. And they did nothing the whole fight. Like anytime they grabbed her, like just used my blind side and just started again, and I didn't switch a single character in that whole fight, and the only time I used them was for a quick finishing move on them, like whatever. Yeah. Oh, they're stunned, all right, everybody use your special moves. Like nice. I was just having so much fun with it, and it was only because I saw somebody post on the internet saying like the plasma discharge is ridiculously good when you have characters that that get a lot of ATB, and I was like,
yeah,
she gets a lot. It's really
easy she to does. Get her
ATB up. She's just so good. You don't have to equip any materia, elemental materia, because she just does them all.
Right. Well, and she has the ninjutsu that she can throw, and you can charge that with any elemental, and like, so.
And then you use banishment, which is just like the level 3 spell of any of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just so good.
Between those two things, like you basically can keep your distance and then do other stuff like at the 100%. Same time, right? Like, so yeah, she was always in my party. The other question I had is like Red 13, you find out is also called Nanaki. And when
Nanaki,
he's
yeah.
called Nanaki, he talks like a child, adolescent boy.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time he talks like this old, wizened,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was a weird turn. Like, I knew that Nanaki was young. I knew that his name is Nanaki. I played the original game. I was waiting for that reveal, but I was not expecting the voice change.
Yeah. Well, and then they go back and forth. So what is that all about?
I think he goes back and forth. Whenever he's reading, like, something ancient or whatever, he does the wizened voice where he's yeah. deep and... yes, I will talk like this instead of this.
Well, obviously, Aerith apparently knew this the whole time, because remember when you're at the beach, at Johnny's Beach
yeah.
Hotel or whatever?
She's like,
when she's
somebody?
Changing, she's talking to somebody. Isn't it him?
Is it him?
Because I think he comes out of the room with her and says and uses his voice, but I think... it's obviously somebody else's voice when she's in yeah. there.
Okay.
And you so never it never come out and tells you that it's him, but I can't it never tells you anything, so.
Yeah. I didn't see that was still a question that I had that I didn't know if that was the case, but now that you mention it, I think he does that at the they do it also at the inn in Juno Undercity.
Oh
so
yeah.
So you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is just Nanaki's
child but it never voice. Comes out like why he reveals that to her but nobody else, right?
Yeah.
Or like
I wonder if it's because they were both captive with like Shinra captives for a while.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird, and there's like that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to things that don't make sense that are not explained well.
Yeah.
But how about maybe, dude, you were talking about a snowboarding mini game in the next one, which I'm excited for mainly because any of the mini games in this game, which there are
millions
tons of, are incredibly well done. Like,
yeah,
I think like, I mean, there are a couple that I, what was that one that I couldn't stand where you're, the one where you're chasing the proto relic and you have to do, I think it was when you're in the grasslands maybe, or the one after the, maybe Juno. I think it was when you're in Juno.
You're talking about,
you gotta play that board game.
Yeah. The Fort Condor, which is Fort Condor in the Yuffie DLC. So much better. And I don't know why they chose to do it this way. I think the idea is, like, the card game is the Fort Condor of this game. Whereas, like, the card game, you're collecting the cards, you're building your deck, you're modifying it. It's played throughout the whole game. Fort Condor was more akin to that in the Yuffie DLC. You could select the pieces that you put into your army. You would find pieces in the wild. You'd buy them from people. You'd build essentially your little army that you have for Fort Condor, and then you would play it. And you didn't have any, like, you didn't have the Cloud, Tifa, Barret pieces. Like, they just didn't exist in that. You would just play a standard game of Fort Condor with the pieces that you collect, and everybody's kind of equal on both sides. The enemy wasn't just sending, like, these giant dogs and eagles as these weird pieces you could never have. And I thought Fort Condor in the Yuffie DLC was an absolute fucking blast. The Fort Condor in this one, it was like this weird puzzle that I did not enjoy because you had to get the timing perfect. You had to, all right, we've got exactly 6 seconds left here. I'm going to place this thing here to distract the enemy there. I'm going to put these things. And like, it's just, it was like, when you failed it three or four times, you're just like, my God, just fucking end.
Yeah, it was like we were talking about with that Tales of Kinzara game, like when you do a challenging level and you have no end and fail halfway through because of something outside of your control, like you don't want to play it again. And that's where, by the time you got to the last one, that's where I was at. It was driving me nuts, and
I can't imagine. Turn it then to it's easy, like, finish it.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that advice, because I quickly did that. And then, can you imagine going back and playing it on hard? It's like, now play these on hard. I'm like, absolutely. I have a buddy. That was miserable.
My buddy was saying, like, he's like, oh, I'm having a hard time doing it on hard. I was like, don't. Why?
Yeah. Why would you do that?
What are you gonna get that you absolutely need?
No, I don't. Yeah. Part of me does want to go back and play some of it, just because I'm sure.
I want to do the other dates, because I got.
How do you do that?
So you just go back and redo you beat the game, that chapter 12 and chapter 9 both have different types of dates based on your relationship status with everybody. And you could redo those and just select anybody in your party who has a high enough emotional level.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, and I had pretty much everybody absolutely maxed at that time.
Yeah.
So I can select everybody but Red 13. So I was like, fuck, yeah, that's everybody I want to do. So
yeah, exactly. But
I got Yuffie. I told you
that. Yeah, that's so random. I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently you get everybody except for Kate Sith. So Barret.
Yeah, which makes
Red 13. My buddy is playing. He got Red 13. He's like, I don't know
how yours played out, but in mine, like, I got Aerith, but when it gave me, it said pick your love, and my choices were Aerith, Red 13, or Barret.
Yes. So that outcome doesn't change at all. I looked that up because I was like, okay, I don't know what to pick. And then Chrissy looked it up. She's like, your choice doesn't matter here. It's just what do you want to see? And like, is it going to be like an awkward, funny scene, or is it going to be like, did you pick Aerith?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they go into a weird, like, almost kiss and then get interrupted? Yeah. Same thing with fucking Yuffie. It was so like, oh my God, this is... don't do it. She's like 16, man. Don't do it.
You're going to go to jail, bro.
And then, like, of course, it got broken up. And then afterwards, like, the actual, like, date, it was super fucking cute. And I actually really liked it. Yuffie was not treating it as they were romantically, like, together. She was treating it as this is a practice run for when she actually goes on a date in real life. And she just talked about, like, Tifa and Cloud and their relationship and that sort of stuff. And then she talked about her falling in love with somebody, which is a huge reference to, like, Crisis Core, if you've ever played Crisis Core.
No, but I want to, because they remade it for...
Yeah, Reunion. Do it. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's a little dated, but it's all action. It's all action. It's fun. It makes you realize why everybody loves Zack. Because Zack's just Cloud with a personality.
Yeah.
It was an absolute blast. And so you run into, like, you keep going to Wutai or whatever, and you keep running into Yuffie. And Yuffie's always doing stuff, and Zack, like, she, like, does her ha ha ha, like, fake punching and stuff like that. And then Zack pretends to get attacked or whatever. And she talks about this guy she would run into, and she thought she was fighting him and shooting him with energy blasts, and it was working until she realized that she was just a dumb kid and he was just a nice dude pretending to get beat up by her. And so she hated him for a bit, and then she realized, no, he was just being nice to me. He wasn't.
So that's explained a lot better in Crisis Core.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Crisis Core, that's just the interaction. In this date that she's having, she's explaining that that interaction she had with Zack, and being like, yeah, I fell in love with Zack and I had no idea, and I just wish that, like I want that with somebody. It's like, I love that sort of play fighting that we did. Yeah. And that's why she's always doing it to Barrett, because Barrett starts to react to it, because, I mean, Barrett's got a kid, and Barrett gets that sort of aspect to it. And at first he wasn't, but, like, throughout the game, you start seeing him in the background, and she's doing her little punches and stuff like that. And then, so anyway, her and Cloud has a little play fight in the wheel, and it's just cute. It's like, hey, she is still fucking a kid. Like, she's still just a child that has these childlike antics. And I've heard, like, people be like, oh, she's so cringe and stuff like that. It's like, you know what?
Really?
I know a fucking girl. I knew girls in high school like that. Like,
yeah,
it's cringe, but, like, cringe is not... A little cringe is good. Like,
I don't think she's that bad at all.
No,
I think almost... Pretty much every character is pretty endearing.
Super well-written.
The only one I didn't really like is Kate Sith, and I don't...
Oh, I like Kate, but, too.
Yeah, and that, I don't mean that in, like, a...
Yeah, no, it, like, just doesn't resonate.
That's still, like, he's still a really good character. I just think the other ones are really, so really, really well done. You know what I mean? And also, he's newer, too, so maybe I just didn't really take to him as much.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that part was weird, too. And, yeah, I don't know. We don't have to get into that whole thing. But was there anything else you wanted to talk about? We're approaching an hour here. Was there anything
I guess we are.
About Final Fantasy Rebirth?
I do want to talk about one more thing before
we
can get into, like, a spoiler cast about Final Fantasy in the future. If that's something you want to do, I'm totally down. But I've been playing on my phone a lot lately. So Apple enabled people are allowed to put emulators on the Apple Store now. And Delta put out an Apple emulator within, like, minutes of being allowed. So I downloaded it. Absolutely free. I installed a bunch of my old games that I have, because I'm not ready to... they're all old. Like, it doesn't matter, right? So, but I still own everything I've put on there. I might put on stuff that I haven't played before, but we'll see how I'm feeling about it. But right now, I've played all the way through Pokemon Silver on my phone, and it works great. I cannot... Like, you can even put, like, Game Sharks in Game Cheats. So I immediately just cheated Murkrow as, like, one of the first Pokemon I ever caught, because I fucking love Murkrows, and then turned it off. And that's it. Like, I just played the whole game through with Murkrow and my team, built it, beat the Elite Four, did Kanto, beat Ash, and fucking called it a day. I just rolled credits on that last night, I was like, fuck, that's so good. And now I'm playing through Paper Mario.
Nice. And
so I'm it's just
the original one?
Yeah, the one for 64.
Because you can't wait for the Thousand Year Door to come out, or what?
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, it's a month away, right? So
is it that far away?
Yeah, Chrissy looked it up last night. She's like, when does it come out? I was like, I think it's a couple weeks. And she looked it up. She's like, it's May 28th or whatever. And I was like, oh, so it's like a month. She's like, yeah. And I was like, God damn it. All right, let's play some Paper Mario on my phone.
Yeah, exactly. That is cool. And you said it works with the backbone. You just had yours broken.
Yeah, my backbone's
how'd that happen?
Side. I have no. I think it's just because of like you open and close all the time. I think something got fucked up when. So if I plug it in, basically the only thing I can do with the left side of the controller is move left, whether I'm pushing anything or not.
Oh.
So suddenly, like none of the other buttons, I can use all the buttons on the right side perfectly fine, but everything on the left side is been overridden by. We're constantly moving left. And I looked up online. Sounds like it's a thing that happens every so. Like it might happen to your backbone controllers. And I'm at this point where, like, do I bother getting another one? I can always hook up one of my, like, I can hook up my 8-bit Do to my phone.
Yeah.
So I might as well just airdrop it to my TV and use the 8-bit Do controller and just use it as, like, a console.
Yeah, that I feel like that works as well. And like the other thing is with your phone, you have to take the case off and everything. Like it's not, which isn't difficult, you know. But oh, you go naked, huh?
You're a rebel. I had a case for years, but I finally after a while.
Damn, like, dude, that is ballsy.
I'm taking the case off, and I took the case off, and honestly, I've been caseless for over a year, and. I fucking love the feel of it without a case.
I would too, man. But I've just... I'll tell you a story. We were about ready to leave for our wedding. Almost eight years ago. And, I was like, I'll just order one. Because I didn't want to buy one. You know, when you go to the actual store to buy one, they're, like, twice as expensive as if you were order one off Amazon. I'm like, 100%. I'm not paying $50 for this. I'll just order one online and have it. Overnight shipped for like $10. So I did that, and sure enough, like walk home, and I can't remember, I think I was taking my phone out of my pocket or something and just had Butterfingers, and it just fell and shattered on the ground. And this is like we're literally leaving the next day for our wedding, so I had to like order a new phone and have it shipped to Arizona and like figure out how to correspond with people. It was a nightmare.
I had a situation where like my phone years back when one of my kids were real small and I was putting them in a car seat, and I guess I was wearing shorts that their pockets were angled weird, so when I was like crouching down to like buckle up her car seat or whatever, because I drive small cars and they don't have a lot of height to them, so I'm leaning down to get her in, I guess it slid out of my pocket and less than like a foot and a half to the ground, and it just absolutely shattered the whole screen. Couldn't see a thing. I was like, what the? How? Like, I have thrown this across the room by accident.
Exactly.
And this is what did it?
Yeah. Dude, it's just funny how, like, mine was not that dramatic, but it was very similar to where I was like, wait a minute, this thing, I've seen it survive, like, way worse than this, and this is what shatters it. So, anyway. I'm gonna have to check that out later on tonight, because I have been meaning to check out how to get ROMs on there and stuff and just haven't figured it out yet. Mostly because I haven't spent a lot of time trying. That's probably
honestly amazing. I just found a ROM site, downloaded them to my files like on your iPhone, and then I just created a ROM folder, threw the ROMs in there, and then when you add them to the program, just it always takes from that folder, and it's perfect.
Cool.
But yeah, I've been playing it like crazy. I've been came in hardcore on my phone again.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, man. I think the interface looks cool too. I've watched some of the reviews on it, and the Delta, what you're talking about, and it's pretty slick, man.
Before we duck out, do you want to? Mm-hmm. Is there any games that you're like super looking forward to in the next year?
The Star Wars one.
Outlaws. Yeah. Yes. So
I think how did that's you the feel only one I can that, think of.
That new trailer, does that get you more hyped?
Watch or is it yet. Just
oh, you haven't watched it yet. All right.
Well, dude, so yeah. I mean, I love Star Wars, dude. So it's starting to be the dream that I wanted where I just make all the Star Wars games. I want all of them. Yeah. I don't want just the good ones. I want all of the ones that you can think of.
Yeah.
Which I know I'll regret saying that someday, but like I'm pretty sure I'll play it. Like
yeah.
I don't know why I wouldn't. So why did it turn a lot of people off?
They just a lot of people were kind of like, "Oh, I don't feel super excited for it." And I'm like, "The trailer was good. I have like I'm excited for it. As far as I'm concerned, it's finally a Star Wars game that I want to play, like because it is there's not a fucking lightsaber to be seen, and I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
It's so weird that, like, I found that, like, Star Wars has devolved into everybody and their mother has a lightsaber, and everybody's a Jedi, and I don't know, like, it just seems like every story that has to be told in Star Wars has to deal with the Force and lightsabers. Yeah. And I always thought, like, for me, I grew up watching the original trilogy, and yeah, I watched the prequels, but man, I didn't really like the prequels.
Yeah.
And so for growing up watching the original trilogy, it was, the Force wasn't huge. Like it was sort of like this sort of weird side plot that like gave that the main character his edge. It's like, but he couldn't use it well. He was like clumsy with it. And he was, even with his lightsaber, he was like barely swinging it properly. And, and it was more about the, everybody's using their blasters and they're dodging shots. And it's like, now everything is just like, stand in front of a bunch of lasers and swing your sword and you're fine. And do a flip and you're flying through the air and throwing things. And it's like, I don't know. It just feels like more fantasy than it originally was. And it felt like it was a lot more grounded and entertaining when it was, when lightsabers and the Force was such mystical and rare, and now it's fucking everybody's
got it. And when you saw one, it was like, whoa, there's somebody with a lightsaber, not like everybody and their mom has one now.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about, what was that?
Mandalorian?
Andor?
Andor, yeah. Is that what it was? Mandalorian devolved into what I hate. But Andor is a weird one too, because by all means I should like it. But I got like 3 episodes in and I'm like, I'm not feeling this. But my buddy said, like, you really need, there's like a moment that occurs that changes everything. And he's like, you're probably like 1 episode away. And I'm like, God damn it. I'll probably give it another go.
I really liked it from the word go. So like, I didn't have to get there, but I could see where that would happen because it's very convoluted in a way where they're intentionally trying to keep things under wraps so not everything is out there for you to see. You know what I mean? And then not until later on do you like kind of see underneath everything what's going on. So exactly. But I thought it was fantastic. And speaking of, just real quickly, fantastic TV series. Have you watched all of Fallout? You watched all of Fallout, right?
Oh, sure did.
Okay. I'm only 2 episodes in, and I mean, it's amazing.
Do you want me to give you my Fallout TV show opinion whilst being a curmudgeon to Bethesda Fallouts?
Sure.
It's a good fucking TV show. One of the best. Yeah. One of the best video game TV shows. It's so fucking good.
It is
good. Like there's aspects of it that I'm like, come on. Or I do find it a little too slapsticky at times.
Yeah.
I feel like the humor of Fallout has changed a lot over the years. Like, the way Bethesda does the humor, the Fallout humor, it's a lot more dumbed down and jokey. Like, it's more ridiculous than it used to be. But as far as the show goes, I thought the show was fucking great.
Yeah.
The characters. It is
incredibly gory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like 100%. They got gruesome. Bloody messes turned on.
Yeah. The first episode, like, I was not seeing where it was going in the first place, and it's throws you a curveball that's really good. But like the aftermath of that, I'm like, whoa, that was graphic.
There's 3 actors in it that I absolutely love, and it's Ella Purnell, which she just fucking nails it.
Is she the main character?
She's the main, the vault dweller character.
Yeah.
You got Walter Goggins, the ghoul, who's so fucking good. Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then there's, it's not the main Brotherhood dude or whatever that follows, but one of the other squires, I think his name is Thaddeus. And he's such a minor character in the first couple episodes, so you might not know him. But he comes out, he's played by, what's his name? It's Pemberton, Johnny Pemberton. And he was in a show called Superstore, and he plays an absolute goon in that show too. But so fucking funny. I absolutely love his character throughout it. He is like that level of like, I'm on board with this. I want to see this guy, and I want to see more about him in a sequel.
Yeah.
So
I have definitely seen this guy.
Yeah, but not enough. He shows up really in the background more than
judge's anything. Character. Yeah. Cool.
And he's such a dink and a wiener, but then he's also like, he's so fucking funny. I just love his as an actor. He is so enjoyable to watch. He does. Yeah. He does like that sort of like white trash loser so well.
He nails it. Norton nails the white trash loser.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Well, thanks for joining me today, James. I had a lot on my mind I wanted to get out, so I appreciate it. Tell the people about your podcast and where else
they can find you. I've got a podcast too. It's called the BL Podcast. You can check it out on pretty much every podcast service. So just type BLP Oddcast.
Oddcast.
Yeah, BL Podcast, all one word. You can also watch it on YouTube, which is BL Podcast on YouTube, and or BLP Entertainment on twitch.tv. So I stream it live every Wednesday, and then I go into some more streaming. I've been playing Fallout New Vegas afterwards because Fallout got me wanting to Fallout again.
Yeah, I can see that, man. It makes me think that the fourth one wasn't as bad as it was, but I know better, so you know, I'm not going to go back and play it.
The fourth one... The fourth one had the best gameplay with the worst story.
Yeah.
And the weirdest aspect of why did they introduce synths to it for no fucking reason? Yeah, like
I forgot about that.
The synths were such a weird storyline. It's like, so they're just different ghouls? how does this differentiate from ghouls?
Yeah.
It's not? They're the same? They go through the same shit? Yeah. All right. What was the point?
Yeah. I don't know.
It also breaks the 50s rule, right? Like all of the robots look like they're from Lost in Space or like Flash Gordon or whatever,
which
right?
Which is and so great, man.
And it's so good.
The show and makes then, you remember that.
And then like, they got these like fucking Blade Runner ass fucking robots. That
yeah.
You're like, oh.
I forgot all about that.
This doesn't jive. Oh, that's the synths and then like the main storyline. Are the two biggest fucking worst
nopes.
Yeah, worst aspects of that game. I really enjoyed like the actual experience of the game for the most part. But then there's that, and then the other thing was the hardcore mode. They still fucking couldn't do hardcore mode. Like you've got New Vegas that set the bar for hardcore mode, which was just, hey, guess what? Play it on, it's an added setting. Just turn it on. You need food, water, sleep, that sort of stuff. You can't just stim away a broken bone or whatever. You have to get a doctor's kit. So now that those tools are relevant, and it's like you can really, everything is useful now. Every single item you pick up has a purpose. And then they're like, okay, hardcore mode is very hard, and then all of that on top. It's like, no, hardcore mode is not a difficulty setting.
It's just...
Don't make it hard. Like that was the big thing, is like if you make it hard, then all of the enemies are instant damage sponges for days. Yeah. And it's
that's even like I see a lot of Minecraft because Guy loves Minecraft, but like Minecraft hardcore it's not a hard difficulty setting, it's just more like of that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like
You're just taking the experience to a hardcore setting, not a difficult. Not making the... And I think Bethesda does, like, their difficulty, like, such a... It's such a poor system because, one, on top of it, they have scaling levels, which I absolutely hate. Like, don't... I want... When I'm level, like, 15, I want to be able to go back to the first area and fucking right. be a god and not yes, have to exactly. worry about a small rat and not have a rat level 15 as well. Right. Oh, you exactly. leveled up too, did you?
Yeah. See, you've been putting in hours as well.
Oh, you bite and still do like a third of my health? All right, well.
Yeah, exactly.
All this leveling 40 up with shots pointless. Into you.
Yep. Totally, man. I completely agree with you on that one. It does but, New Vegas still hold up?
Yes, but I've also been playing the Josh Sawyer patch, which Josh Sawyer was the game director. And okay. after it launched, he realized there's a whole bunch of little tweaks and bugs that he wanted to fix. So he actually put out a mod himself that is not official. It's not a connected because they couldn't do anything else with it because yeah. of the whole Obsidian and Bethesda falling out after yeah. that game launched because it was like 1% too low to hit its whatever, like bonus. The studio's supposed to get a bonus and it reviewed at like a, yeah, just below 1% and it turned into a huge snafu. So basically he couldn't do anything. So he released an unofficial patch on his blog that fixed a whole bunch of stuff. It fixed some hardcore mode. It upped the level cap. It fixed some of the broken storyline stuff. So I'm playing with that and it's been a blast. And like where it makes hard mode not turn enemies into damage sponges. It just makes your health lessen. So like you have less, a little less health than standard. It makes your endurance not scale as high with, so it basically, they balanced it all out. It's not, it doesn't feel like, so if I run up and I can still shoot a guy and kill him in 3 shots and he can also probably do the same if he hits me yeah. kind of stuff. So it's been really fun dealing with that. Carrying weight is harder, but you're using everything constantly. So it feels like a good give and take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about going back and playing Fallout because it's kind of giving me the bug. But then I thought back, oh, there's Fallout 76 and I don't want to play that. There's Fallout 4 and yeah. I don't want to play that. So what yeah. else is there? And they haven't remade Fallout 3 or the originals. So,
yes.
That's, I guess Fallout New Vegas is where it's at.
Yeah. I really want to see, I would love to see Fallout 1 remade. With a little bit, like, don't change the core of the game, but just, like, maybe user update stuff, like user-friendly choices and stuff like that, and flesh it out a little bit, like, make it polished, up-res the graphic, like, redo all of the sprites or whatever, but don't do them, like, because the sprites were originally 3D models that were compressed into sprites for that game, yeah. so just make them the 3D models they were based off of, that sort of right. stuff. Just make it all like beautiful in that regard, and then maybe some yeah quality of life tweaks, give it to a studio like Larian, who's proven they can do isometric turn-based games with
beyond competently.
Give it to them, let them handle it or something like that, and fucking we're laughing.
Cool.
But
yeah, man, I would definitely play them if they got remade. It's just not really my MO.
Oh, fuck, they're still good. They're still
you
good.
Know now. Yeah. I know. It's just not really my thing. But anyway, that'll do it for today. If you want to hear more from us or if you want to be part of us by writing in and asking us questions, you can do that podcast at mostlynormalgamers.com or at MNGamersPodcast on Twitter. And with that, I will see you next time around. Bye.
Bye.